travels this afternoon. To Lord, give her safety of travel. Help her, Lord, to be blessed with a good week. We ask you, Lord, to be with each and every one here this morning, Lord, and may they just receive a blessing from being in the services here this morning. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us. Well, first, Lord, we ask you to forgive, to be with Brother Carl as he's out this morning. Lord, let the doctors be able to find whatever it is that's caused him to have his issues. And, Lord, again, we pray and thank you for each and every blessing you've given us. Be with us throughout this service and be with us throughout this week. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I want to talk to you about a job that's got to be done. Leslie endured a pretty good deal of pain this week at camp, and why did she do that? Because she knew she had kids that needed to eat and workers that needed to eat. And so when we have something that we have to accomplish, it drives us to kind of push along, doesn't it? Even when we would probably like to give up or to not do it, the Lord is honored by our faithfulness and our obedience. The Lord, He's not looking for perfection from us, but what He is looking for is faithfulness. But there is one who is perfect, and His name was Jesus. We've spent the last 6 weeks or so talking about the different I Am statements of Jesus, trying to see who Jesus was, and recognizing that in Jesus is where we need to find our identity. And so we're going to go to the beginning of the story this morning, and hopefully we'll see that the Lord has work for Himself to complete, but He also has work for us to do in relation to that. So let's look, beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Those were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So what a beautiful picture and reminder of who Jesus was. And this is John's kind of overview of the entire story of the gospel. So it's kind of like those shows that they show you what happens at the end, at the beginning, and it irritates the snot out of me. And then they go back and sit, 24 hours earlier or whatever. I hate that. because we're just, you know, I'm linear. Most of us are linear thinkers, and we think, you know, there's an order to things, and so you do A first, then you do B, and then you do C, and then you do D. The first century wasn't quite that way, but the Gospel of John, written by the Apostle John, and John is telling us an awful lot about Jesus here at the very beginning of his gospel. He likely wrote this at the end of his life. He was an old man by this time. John was a leader in the early church and faithful, and wrote not only the Gospel of John, but also the book of Revelation, and then three letters to the church that we have in the New Testament. And John, in this introduction to his gospel, wants us to understand who Jesus is. And can I tell you, friend, if there's anything that's very important for you to get and understand, it's who Jesus is. Who Jesus is and what he accomplished is the crux of the Christian faith. The Christian faith relies solely 100% on who Jesus was and is and what he did. It was because of what Jesus did that any of us have any hope at eternal life. And it's because of who he was and is that he was able to accomplish that. Because none of us had any hope of being able to do it. We would fail miserably. And so I want us to see that Jesus was intimately involved, and though it's hard, the Trinity is something that, you know, theologians and folks have toiled about and thought about and tried to rationalize for eons, and they haven't done it. And here's the thing, if we could figure it out, then we'd be God. Maybe the point of not being able to figure it out reminds us we ain't God. Because God understands it whether we do or not. All we have to do is by faith accept it as truth. And so I want to talk about some of the things that Jesus did according to John chapter 1 in these 18 verses that we read. First, John reminds us that Jesus was involved and had an important part to play in the work of creation. The book of Genesis in chapter 1 begins by saying this world was void, it was empty, it was without form. And then God's Spirit moved. And you remember the story of creation. He created the land and the water and the sky and the you know, the birds and the fish and all the animals and et cetera, et cetera. And then he created man. Jesus, John says, was there and involved. So though there was a point where Jesus Christ physically was born, he's always been. And he always will be because God has always been and God will always be. And Jesus Christ was fully man, but he was also fully God. And that's the point that John is trying to make. And John does see Jesus as Savior and Lord, he sees him as the promised Messiah that the Jews were looking for 100%. But he wants us to understand that though the man Jesus has this physical birth, and by, it wasn't December 25th, by the way, but I think it's fine that we celebrated all that day. But listen, Jesus has always been, and he always will be. Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, in that little letter, he says, listen, all things were made by Christ. And he says, you know what else? All things are held together by him. And so Jesus Christ is intimately engaged and involved in everything we see and everything we know about this world. What does that matter? It reminds us that he's God. There's historical evidence that Jesus Christ, there was a man that lived in the first century who lived in this town called Nazareth whose name was Jesus. There's historical evidence that this man named Jesus preached about and then was crucified on a cross. That's a historical fact. The question, though, and where the rub is that the Bible proclaims, Jesus himself proclaimed, and we as Christians believe, indeed, yes, Jesus was a man, but Jesus was also God. And we also believe it wasn't a 50-50 proposition. He wasn't half man and half God. He was fully man, and he was fully God. And again, if we try to figure that thing out, man, it will give ourselves a headache. But again, just because we can't understand it or figure it out doesn't mean it's wrong or not true. We're not supposed to understand everything about God, again, because we're not God. But the Bible affirms, and we want to be reminded, that part of the work of Jesus Christ was creation. And not only bringing creation into being, but by also in keeping it going. And so whether people realize it or not, their very existence depends on Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people in this world that deny Jesus even exists, and they don't honor him in their life, and yet Jesus is holding their life and their world together. Why? Because he's God. God is intimately involved in the work of creation and holding it together. And so, one thing we know, if you're a Christian, if Jesus Christ has saved you and you belong to him, you recognize and you realize you need him for everything in your life. You would be nothing without him. In fact, John makes that point here in this first chapter. He says, listen, Jesus came into this world, but they didn't receive him. They didn't agree with him. They didn't say, oh God, wow, thank you for showing up and thank you for life and thank you for all the things that you've done for me. No, they tried to do him in. They tried to stone him. They tried to arrest him. And ultimately, they do succeed in that. And ultimately, they crucified him. And they thought they were pretty powerful and that they were doing their own bidding. But the reality was that was God's plan all along. Was for God himself to come and pay for the sin debt that every single one of us and every other human being that's ever walked the face of the earth has owed, a debt that's owed because of sin. And the Bible says that the price of sin is blood. And not just any blood, but sinless blood. But there's a problem. None of us have it. Even precious little innocent babies that are so adorable, so cute. Even, you know, some babies are so ugly, they're cute. Despite how precious they are, they still are sinful creatures. And it doesn't take us as human beings very long to display our sinful nature, does it? You think I'm wrong, you just try to take a toy away from a two-year-old that's playing with it. And they can have a whole stack of other toys. What are they going to say? No, mine! Mine, mine, mine! And some of us never grow out of that, unfortunately. But isn't it true that a hard lesson for all of us to learn, but something we all had to learn, was how to share? It doesn't come natural to us. Why? Because we're sinful creatures and we're selfish creatures. And the reason we are selfish is because we're sinful. God created this world. Jesus was involved because Jesus is God and he is eternal. He's always been and he always will be. So we see the work of creation. So I've convinced you of that. Second thing is the work of revelation. I'm not talking about John's book of Revelation that comes at the book or the end of our Bible. But John tells us here at the beginning, he said the reason Jesus came was as light. Now, what does light do? Light shows you the way, doesn't it? Now, if we were to come at night into the sanctuary and we left these lights off, we'd be stumbling all over, wouldn't we, each other? And we'd be banging our feet on the pew, you know, trying to feel our way around, trying to find a place to sit. And we could probably maybe hear the preacher, even without a microphone and even in the dark, but it would be hard. And we certainly couldn't follow along with God's Word in the dark. Why? Because light, by its very design, shows us the way. And John tells us that that was what Jesus did. So he uses the great analogy of the Word and of light and life. He says Jesus is all of those things. He says that Jesus came to this world to show us the Father. He said, listen, nobody has seen God except they've seen Jesus. And there are men that lived on earth that saw this man named Jesus with their own eyes. We have testament of that in our New Testament. But the reality is that we know Jesus, and Jesus is going to tell us, even in John's Gospel, the reason he came was to point people to God and to point people to the way of salvation. Because God is not concerned with as much, you know, how you get to God and are made right with God is not by being a good person. It's not by doing enough good deeds. You know, a lot of people that think, well, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and so there's this little scale, and if my good deeds are like this, then I'm going to make it to heaven. That's not what God's Word says, and that's not what Jesus said. John tells us that he came to declare to us God and to point the way to him that we could have this relationship. By the way, the relationship that we were created for. We were created to know God and to live with him. Leslie and I, several years ago, went to the mountains in Tennessee, and she dragged me to a pottery shop, to a pottery class, and we sat there, and we got dirty, and we made these bowls. And, you know, we sat there, and we made it, and, you know, did the things, and I think I had to start over, and I had to do mine twice, I think. But then we, at the end, we turned our little clay over, and we wrote our little name on it, and they painted it the color that we picked, put it in this oven and baked it, and I don't know, 3 or 4 months later, this box shows up on our doorstep, and it was these bowls. And I tell you, they're beautiful bowls. Now, there's something about these bowls, though, because I made them. I made mine, and Leslie made one, too, so we have two. I kind of like knowing they're in the cupboard. Now, we don't use them every time, but I know they're there. And can I tell you, those are my most favorite bowls. We have plenty of other bowls in our house. In fact, we have umpteen gazillion Tupperware bowls and those Rubbermaid bowls. We've got bunches of those, and half of them have lids and half of them don't, but probably like at your house. But you know, all the bowls that we have, you know which two are my favorite? Those two clay bowls from the mountains. Why are they my favorite? Because I made one and Leslie made it. So I made one and I know who made the other one. And we made them together. And so they're precious. Can I tell you that the Father that created you feels the same way about you? And boy, if my bowls got lost, oh, I'd be searching for them, and I'd want them to get home. And it's the same way. And so part of what Jesus came to accomplish was to show us how to get where we belong. And where we belong is not being good. It's not being perfect or sinless, because we're not. But where we belong is with our Creator. And sin mars that and keeps us from that place where we belong. And so Jesus came to show us the way to get back home. But then last, I want to see, not only does Jesus have this work of creation, and not only does he have the work of revelation, but he has the work of redemption too. Because you see, not only did he come to show us the way to get home, he bought the ticket for us. He loved us so much, they said, you know what, I know it's going to be costly, but I want you with me. And so he came and he paid the price that was necessary for us to have a ticket home. He came to buy our redemption. So Jesus came to show us the way, that he was that light. He became flesh and lived among us. Why is that important? Because Jesus was fully man, he could pay our sin debt. Because he was a human being that had flesh just like you and I do. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, in fact, that Jesus was in every way tempted like we are. Jesus knew what it was to be hungry and asleep. When we meet Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, the first thing we learn about him after his genealogy and his birth and all that kind of exciting stuff is Jesus out in the wilderness, and guess who else is there? That rascally old devil. And guess what the devil does? What he always does to everybody. He tempts him, tries to knock him off course, get him to deny God. Jesus, though, overcame every one of those temptations. By the way, quoting scripture to that rascally old devil, a reminder to us why it's important to know God's word and to be, you know, have it memorized and be able to quote it. But Jesus said, you know, so he came, he lived this perfect sinless life. The writer of Hebrews says that he was tempted in every way we are, but he doesn't stop there. There's not a period at that point. He goes on and he says, what makes the difference? And was without sin. Jesus had human flesh just like you and I do. And yet he didn't sin. And because he didn't sin, he was able to pay the sin debt that I owed, and that you owed, and that every other human being owes, because we're all sinful. A lot of times we get to think, well, listen, are we really all that bad? Yes, we are. If you don't believe mankind is bad, watch the news. Every day, nearly, on the news, even here in Jackson, our local news, there's a shooting or killing, or somebody's been stabbed, somebody's been set on fire. People are slinging, you know, calling names, which, or fight. Listen, people are sinful. And this world is sinful. It's full of sin. But here's the thing, this old sinful world one day is going to fall away. Because this, what we're going through right now is this war between good and evil, between God and Satan. And can I tell you, I know who wins. And it's God. And old Satan is put in a pit and defeated for all eternity. And those who accept the work of Jesus and what Jesus has done and what he is doing will spend eternity with him, celebrating the victory that we have, not in ourselves, but the victory we have in Jesus. And so Jesus knew he had a work to do. He came and did it. But now John reminds us here, and we may have missed it because we are prone to miss things as we read God's word. He said, listen, not only did God come, but John said, but God, Jesus is with God now. So Jesus did come the first time. He ascended. By the way, we celebrate that today. Today is the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached a sermon, you know, and the Holy Spirit came down and fell in Acts chapter 2. But John reminds us, Jesus reminds us, other writers of the New Testament remind us that just as Jesus came once, he's coming again. We don't know the day or the hour, but can I tell you, it's closer today than it was yesterday or 10 years ago. Jesus is coming again. And so with that said, that means that we have work to do as well. Because if we are in Jesus Christ, if we belong to him, then John's gospel declares to us we should be doing the works of God. And if you remember, we looked at last week at one of Jesus' I am statements. He said, listen, the works that I'm doing, you are going to do even greater works. Now, we are not saved by our works or because of our works or through our works, but our works show that we are saved. That we do. Listen, how do we know that we're a Christian? How do we know that we believe in Jesus and that we are his? We act like him. And we do the things that he did, including loving even your enemies and praying for your enemies and being kind. By the way, Jesus went to church. Jesus was baptized. You know, Jesus tithed. I go on and on. I'm not going to. But I tell you that if Jesus did, was Jesus saved by those things? No, he wasn't. He did those things because he was. That's what God expected his people to do. And by the way, I think God still expects his people to do those things, but that's not the purpose of the sermon today. But I want us to understand that, listen, Jesus is fully God and he is fully man. He has a job to do and he's working. He's on the job every day, even still today. But as we know that, then we also have to realize, you know what, that means that I have a job to do too. So friend, how are you showing up for work? Or are you calling, are you AWOL? And I tell you, there are a lot of Christians who are AWOL. And a lot of churches as a whole that are AWOL. Jesus says, listen, even at, God's word says, even as you see the days approaching, even more work. Even more be faithful. And so as we see our world seem to get darker and darker, that means it needs Jesus' light more and more and more. And so you go and be that light. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you that you loved us so much that you came to this old fallen world because you loved me. And because you loved all of us. Lord, if there's one here that hasn't received that free gift, would you help them today to make that all-important decision? But Lord, perhaps there's one here today that they've not shown up for work. And today they would need to say, you know what, Lord, forgive me for being AWOL. Lord, here I am for duty. Lord, we work and we serve you not because we have to, not so that we can earn notches on our belt, not so that we can be better, have a better place in heaven, but simply because we love you and because you've done so much for us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be faithful. Help us to help this dark world find the light of Jesus by us coming into their life. Help us, we pray, to be faithful to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of response. And if God spoke into your heart and there's a decision you need to make, today would be a great day. This would be a great time to make that decision for the Lord. Let's sing together.